I don't know if you do jigsaw puzzles, but just think with me for a moment about a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And the picture on the box looks so neat, but then when you dump out all those pieces, it's kind of intimidating. And if you're like me, you do the border first, and you get it set so that you know the parameters. And then gradually you start to assemble the picture with colors that match or borders of little things, objects in the picture, and so on. And as you put it together, the picture starts to take place, but you realize that until the last piece is in, the picture is not complete. And folks, that's a picture of the Bible. You can't build, or we can't build, our faith on one part of it. You need to see the whole picture to grasp what it really is about. And that's why here we preach through the book, a book of the Bible at a time, or a subject, a big enough area that we're looking at a bigger picture so that we, in fact, can have a good understanding of the whole. Now, this morning, we're going to look at just a small part, but it's an important part. And all these parts must be connected with the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, both the Old and the New Testaments. And I just encourage you to spend time reading the Word of God from beginning to end. So this morning, I want us to look at, and I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Listen as I read. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Just that far for a moment. Last week, Pastor Peter used the idea of a V. And he started at the top of the stroke coming down to the bottom. And about God in heaven, Jesus, God the Son in heaven, but being working way down as he became incarnate, took on human flesh, and worked his way right down to the main part of his humility, the cross, which this just ended with, where he himself bore our sin in his own body on the cross, from heaven to humanity to death, even death on a cross. And so now today we're going to be looking the other way, but just follow with me in a couple of these things from last week, just to bring you up to speed. It said, have this mind among yourselves. That's an imperative, where we are to develop and understand a mind of humility, whereby we are willing to give of ourselves as he did toward other people. Rather than thinking only of ourselves, we reach out to them. And humility, as we were reminded last week, is so important for the body of Christ, the church, to have unity and harmony. It is so important for us to understand that humility enables us to reach out to others who we may not even consider of value, but we need to. It encourages that joy that we need to have. Philippians has a couple of major themes. One is unity and one is joy. And humility is so important in those being a part of our lives. Jesus came and obeyed the Father's will. Voluntarily gave up his life for you and for me. The Bible says he bore our sin in his own body on the cross. He poured out his life's blood to pay our debt of sin. Something I couldn't pay, you can't pay. In fact, in Romans 6:23, it says the only thing, the wages of sin is death. It's the only thing sin will ever earn for us. And that means that death is separation from God for all eternity. He was the perfect, sinless one so he could bear our sin, pay our debt. He was fully God, which made him perfect and sinless. He was fully man, so he could take man's penalty and pay it. But the cross was that ultimate act of humility that only he could commit to. The last part of verse 8 says, "And being found in human form, limited himself to a human body. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That's why we're here today. That's why we're listening to the Word of God today. Because he provided everything we need for life and godliness. And that brings us to this week's thoughts for us today in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And we begin in verse 9 where it says, "Therefore, in light of all of this that Jesus did, therefore," this is the reason. In light of what he has done, in light of this humiliation, in light of the crucifixion, in light of his willingness to be our substitute and die in our place, in light of the payment that he made for us, in light of the promise of forgiveness by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast." We have no hope of forgiveness without his work on the cross. Galatians 3, 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us, purchased us." To redeem was to buy back, to buy out of the slave market of sin, to set us free. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which pronounced us guilty, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's me. That's you. And then again, Romans 6:23, "And the only wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, let me just read what I looked like to God, and you as well, if you want to be honest. But listen carefully. "And when you were dead..." And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God." First two words of the next verse. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you have trouble finding it, John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, by faith receive the Lord Jesus. By all who did receive him, who believed in his name." God gave the right to become children of God. As Pastor Peter mentioned just earlier in the announcements about that we are adopted into the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore," it says, "God has highly exalted him." Highly exalted, I'm told, occurs only once in the New Testament. And it means over and above, beyond the normal word for exalt. It denotes the ultimate super exaltation. Exaltation to the highest possible level, to the loftiest height. And yet, listen carefully what the writer to Hebrews said. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amazing. Therefore, God has highly exalted him by his resurrection from the dead. We're almost at Easter. This is a good time to think about the resurrection. Listen, Mark 16:6. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where he lay. Acts 2 and verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Romans 1:4. He was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Paul said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Through his resurrection, we see his victory over sin and over the grave. That empty tomb was a reality. It should encourage us to accept that victory over sin's rule in our lives. It should encourage us to know we can have eternal life in him. It gives us his promise of forgiveness of our sin. It should give us a new purpose for living. It should cause us to be devoted to him as our Lord. It should change our focus from ourselves to serving. Just as Pastor Peter mentioned a little bit ago about, there are people in need, and maybe these days we can have the opportunity to help them in some way. I even heard they're looking for volunteers for Meals on Wheels. There's just a lot of ways. Now, we also have to be careful. We have to consider our health. And so we need to do things in proper ways according to what we're instructed. But there are ways we can serve one another. Not just by his resurrection, but by his ascension, he was exalted. He was back where he was, where he began, at the throne of God. Listen carefully what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had said these things, as the disciples were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Verse 11, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Acts 7, verse 56, Stephen, a follower of Jesus, was preaching his first sermon, and he was in the process of being stoned to death for what he said, and he said these words, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Acts 5, 31, God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. 1 Timothy 3:16, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen of angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. John 14, as he talked to his disciples, verses 2 and 3 says, Jesus said to them, In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now these times are troubling times. And the first verse said this, Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, said Jesus. You have to understand that it's not enough just to believe in God or a God. We need to believe in Jesus. He's God the Son who died in our place on the cross, but is alive. He was raised and he is alive. The only founder of a religion that is alive. He's for real, folks. Don't let your heart be troubled. Look to him. We can receive him into our heart and life for the forgiveness of our sin by faith in him. It also, we should be encouraged that by his position as king, he was exalted because he was given all authority in heaven and on earth, as said in Matthew 28 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3:22 says, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Jude 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. And by his position as intercessor, this gives me great encouragement. He's honored in the position as our high priest. Now think about it. The Bible says, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He was fully God and he was fully man. And he alone is our mediator. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests had to offer animal sacrifices to cover sin until the Christ would come and pay the price and remove it. The priests offered sacrifices for the people, but they also had to offer sacrifices for themselves because they too were sinners. But Jesus had no need to offer a sacrifice. Because he was God the Son, perfect and without sin. He was the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, said John the Baptist, who takes away sin. Romans 8:34 says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Hebrews 4:14, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Hebrews 7:21 and 22, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Jesus, are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Hebrews 7:24 to 26. He holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost, completely, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. One more, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Back in the place of glory where he was before he took on a human body born of a virgin. He is the exalted Lord Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Then verse 9 through 11 carries on. Let me read. We haven't got very far. their God. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father gave him his name. The name is not revealed in this passage until you get to verse 11. And it simply says, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is, there's the name, Lord. Now think about that. It reflects his divine presence, and nature. It is the title of majesty, authority, honor, and sovereignty. One day, that name will be expanded to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That name says he has absolute supremacy and the right to be obeyed as divine master. God bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That above means it is over, signifying his status, his position above all other beings. He is exalted as sovereign Lord. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, it says that he gave him this name so that, this is the purpose, this is the result of, this is why he gave him this name, that at the name of Jesus, who is Lord, and he will be recognized, he will be acknowledged, this same Jesus who was crucified, the whole bottom of that V of the humility now is in the process of being raised right back to where he was at the beginning of the V in heaven, in the glory of God the Father. That's where he started. This whole process, God gave him this name. And he says that at this name, every knee will bow. Some translations say should bow. Should is past tense for shall, implying authority even to the place of compulsion. So that every name given to, this name given to him, places him over every other being. It means even you and me. We're included. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven. All the holy angels and the redeemed believers who have gone ahead of us through death. The worship of Jesus Christ as Lord is the norm in heaven. We've come to know a different statement now and then, the new normal. Well, right now we're living in a new norm, a new normal. But in heaven, there's no change. It is the same because God is there and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his place is of perfection. He says in Hebrews 1:6, let all the angels worship him. Hebrews 1:8, of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Hebrews 1:13, and to which of the angels has God ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So he says, so that, he has this name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. That means all on earth. One day we'll bow before him and will recognize and accept the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the promised one that God sent. He is Lord over all. And they will bow. Whether they believe in the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior or not, they will bow. Even if they have to bow out of fear or by compulsion, all, every knee will bow. Not only on earth, not only in heaven, but under the earth. This would indicate fallen angels, the unredeemed dead. There is more than this life, by the way, in case you're wondering. All of us will go into an eternity. That's just a fact of the Word of God. So listen carefully. All who have died before us who did not believe in God will be also, will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And it's not just bowing the knee. It says, and that every tongue, the Amplified says, the Amplified translation, and every tongue, bracket, frankly and openly, confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every people, every language, every person, every angelic being, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord is the name given him. When I was growing up, there was a lot of times that very seldom did I hear people refer just to Jesus. And that is his earthly name. And God gave him that. But for some reason, it seemed that the norm, at least in the church I grew up in, was that he was almost always referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord Christ Jesus. Christ is not his last name. That says he's Messiah, the anointed one. But Lord Jesus Christ. And for me, it was good because it caused me to have a sense of awe about him, that he was bigger than the average guy, that he was someone to be acknowledged in a very special way. And it helped to keep me from moving too far away from that whole mindset that he is Lord. And we need to think about that. Because one day, everyone will recognize him or admit that he is Lord, whether they recognize it or not. They will admit it. The Lord Jesus was certainly higher and greater than any human. Lord, by definition, means master, supreme authority, sovereign ruler. This is the highest possible position in the universe. He reigns as Lord. And all the way through his humility, down to the cross, and all the way back up to home in heaven, he was always God, fully God. And once he took on that human body, he was always fully man as well. I would explain that to you, but I can't. I just have to believe that's what God says, that he was fully God and fully man, all in the same package. Absolutely amazing. And when he came, he limited himself to a human body. That is also amazing. But now he is restored and exalted in his heavenly position. And all are to believe and surrender to him as Lord. Now, I just want to explain the word confess, lest you get confused. The word confess means to agree with and refers to a public declaration. All will acknowledge, they will agree with God that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not talking about confessing your sin to someone. He's talking about confessing who he is, speaking out and saying, this is who he is. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 is a frightening verse, or two, three verses. But listen carefully. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Folks, the only time you and I have is today. We don't know about tomorrow. But we have today. And the Bible also says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day when we can honestly recognize who Jesus is. And we can do what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. We can confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Have you recognized Jesus as Lord? Have you recognized him as Savior from your sin? Have you been changed by him? Does his lordship affect your values? Does his lordship in your life affect your behavior? Does it help you as you deal with COVID-19? Do we really trust him with our life and with our eternity? Both are in his hands. And then it closes with verse 11, the last part. All of this, exalting Jesus, is to the glory of God the Father. Jesus came to glorify the Father. Listen how he did it in John 17. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. This is just before his crucifixion. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. The glory of God was Jesus going to the cross, providing a way for people to be saved and accepted to God, acceptable to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me, John 14, 6. Jesus is now in his rightful place in heaven. He's restored to the presence of God the Father, at the right hand of him. He's now there. He's still Lord, in the midst of COVID-19. I'm going to take the time to read a scripture. I don't know how long I've been preaching, so y'all might be taking a breath and saying, man, when does this guy quit? Listen carefully. These words taken from the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. And it says, in chapter 4, after this I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. This is yet to come. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit and beheld a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And then down to verse 9. And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look at it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes. And I won't go into the description of what all that means. You can find some places to check that out. Which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransom people for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. Folks, the end of physical life is not the end of life. If we can be of any help to you, just to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he paid for our sin. If we can be of any help, call the office. one of us is usually available, we would be delighted to share with you from God's Word how you can know the Christ, Jesus, the one who died to pay for your sin and mine, how we can have that forgiveness and come to Him. There's two verses in the Bible, almost at the end, in a little book called Jude, and it's why I have peace and confidence even in the midst of COVID-19. And it says this: "Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen."